May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please sit down. Well, it really is a joy to be with you all today. We think it's probably about 3 years at least since I was here, because I think it was before your new priest came along, Reverend Paul. But it is lovely to be here again amongst friends, because you are. And we also have friends here from the church that my family worshipped at in Holy Trinity in Whitney. We've got my GP here. We've got the chap who used to drive me into Oxford for my work when I had my other job, when I was in customs and excise. He's here as well. And it's good to just be amongst friends at this time on this wonderful celebration, because baptism is such an important part of our lives. It's such an important part of our Christian journey. And whether you were baptized as a baby or whether it was something that you did in later in life, it's a very significant step. In our gospel reading, we heard how John the Baptizer was attracting people from the whole Judean countryside, people who heard about him, and they were coming along to seek him out and to actually find forgiveness, to find that new start that we get with baptism, a new way of life, and a new relationship with God. That unusual man, because he was unusual, he was different, he was very, very different. He was quite remarkable as well, because of the way that he dressed, the way that he acted. He lived a solitary life, this strange man was attracting them. There was something about him, much like Jesus, you might say. There was something there that was drawing them to him. Almost they were coming to him as though he was the Messiah. But John was clear in his response to them about who he was and his relationship with Jesus. There's a comedy sketch with Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett and John Cleese, and it's about people who are in management, the people who are in the boss, the middle management, and then you've got the oily rag who's doing all the work. And that was the way that was put over. It's based on people who are either, feel that they have an important role to fulfill, but they know their place. And the oily rag knows his place as well. He knows that he shouldn't step above that. It was like this with John. John knew that he had this job to do, but it wasn't about him. He was only there to point the way that somebody was coming who was going to be much more significant than he was. He didn't want to replace or overshadow the Savior. You know, that wasn't what he was about. The Messiah, that wasn't John. John tells them quite clearly that whilst they might come to him to confess their sins, the one who was actually going to give them real forgiveness was Jesus Christ. And he was coming. And through him, and him alone, they would be blessed by the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that Jesus seeks to be baptized by John before he starts his own quite short ministry of 3 years or so, we think. The account of that baptism experience recorded in Luke speaks about something very special that's happened to Jesus at the time of his baptism. We're told that a dove descended from above on him. And even more incredibly, words coming from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We really don't know exactly what happened at that time. But it was obviously something amazing and very special. The church that I was privileged to serve in up in the West Midlands, in Stourbridge, St. Thomas is there, a very fine Georgian church. Well, it had a Holy Ghost plaque at the chancel step up in the ceiling. And that Holy Ghost plaque had angels around it, and it had a dove at the centre. And that was the sort of thing that you might think of at baptism time. And that was where we baptised the children. We brought the children there under that Holy Ghost plaque, not expecting that something would drop down from the ceiling or whatever, but, you know, it was just significant, because that was why it was put there in the first place. And so that was where we brought the children and the adults to be baptized as well, because it's never too late to be baptized. Never too late. Or indeed to be confirmed. Never too late. My mother was in her 70s when she was confirmed. And we get people of 90 or so who are still being confirmed today. Never too late. But it is difficult to say exactly what happens. It's at that time of baptism. It's got to be a very personal experience. And of course the baby, well, the baby wouldn't really know what was happening to it at that time. I was a month old when I was baptized. I don't know about you. I was just a babe in arms. So I didn't really know what was going on at that time. And I don't know whether there was a clap of thunder or, you know, things dropped down from the ceiling or whatever. I don't know. So it's important, but it's important to recognize what might have been happening as we reflect on it as adults. I think it's important to be able to reflect back to our baptism as adults, even though we don't know perhaps who was there. Baptizing anyone, we might be aware that there's no sort of anything changing in a physical sense to us. You know, there's no direct change. But our prayer at that time, at the baptism, is that that gift of the Holy Spirit will come to us. That gift of the Holy Spirit will be there in our lives, brought to us through Jesus Christ. And that we would be able to live an acceptable life as the person that God would have us be through our baptism. And that we'd be blessed in special ways. We would also pray at baptism that that light of Christ, something that we celebrated at Easter, something that's coming to us, that light would be there as well, just lighting our path through our lives. And we symbolize that in the candle, and what wonderful candles and things you've got around in your church here. Candles can be a very, very good symbol for us to meditate on, just to reflect on, just have a candle burning in the dark where we just open ourselves and our hearts to God through that candle, which may connect you to the Holy Spirit. In more recent years, there's been a debate about whether one should baptize babies or not. And whether actually they should be left to make their own minds up when they're a bit older. For my part, as I say, I was born in 1947, so you can do your calculations. My parents, they thought it was important, and I'm glad that they did think it was important that I should be baptized. I was so pleased that I was actually a part of the heritage of the family in being baptized, but most importantly, a part of God's church from that very early age. And I think that's been significant for me. When our twin sons were born, that's 40 years ago this year, we were not members of the local church at all. We were living down in near Southampton, we were asking the local priest there near Romsey if he would be prepared to let us come up to Wokingham in Berkshire in order to have our twins, Ian and Stuart, that we could have them baptized back in the church where my wife had worshipped in her earlier years. Now, through their grace, their love, they agreed, the priest in Romsey and the priest back in Wokingham, they agreed that we should be able to do that. Now, we had no connection to the church at that time. Today, we do look for some sort of commitment from the family. We look for the families to be committed in church in bringing children to baptism. We try to encourage that they should be here, not just for the baptism and the party, but, you know, here to bring the children throughout their lives, their young lives, into church. But I do wonder, if we'd had a different reaction from our priest down there near Romsey, or the priest up in Berkshire, and if they'd said no, would I be standing here in front of you today, talking to you today about the way that God's affected my life and the life of my family? I do wonder if that would have happened, if we'd been told no, or that there were restrictions on us. I just question that myself as to how that might have changed my life. Sadly, today, many children, many babies, are not baptized. And I say sadly because that's just my own personal view. But it's wonderful if people do come to faith and to baptism later in life. What wonderful thing that is, that people actually do find their way to God when they can actually make that decision for themselves. But it's the case for some of my grandchildren. Some of them are baptized. Some of them are not. And I have to cope with that. I have to live with that and accept that that was their decision. That was the parents' decision. And I have to leave. Oh, I have to pray. I pray, but I have to just leave the rest to God. I have to leave it in his hands. I also think that sometimes if you leave people that question until later in life, it actually can become quite daunting. It's a huge thing for people to stand up and say, I am a Christian and I really believe it and I want to be baptized. I want to be confirmed. It's a huge thing, a huge step for people to take to find their way even through that door sometimes, even to get them through that door. It's hard for people to be able to make that step. But of course, it's our job to make them feel really welcome, as I'm sure you do, in the way that you've welcomed me. So hurdles there along the way. But also thinking about trying to encourage the wider community to think about what God does to their lives, what God does to these little children, these young people who are gathered with us today. What difference is God going to make to their lives and their future? Baptism has been seen as a sort of a rite of passage, a purification rite, and a washing away of the past, the start of a new life. And it's a very symbolic action that goes right back to the time of Jesus, as we've heard there in that gospel reading. In some traditions, you'd actually be taken into a darkened room. They would take you in to a darkened room. You would be clothed in a white robe, and then you would turn and face the open door, walking through water and into the marvelous light of God from the darkness that you've been in before, into that new light in Christ. Well, I just wonder whether, if you have been baptized or christened, each of you, do you know when it happened? Do you know who your godparents were? I don't know who my godparents were. Perhaps you do. Are you still connected to them in some way? Are they people that are perhaps no longer here, but they were there at the time of your baptism? Some people are baptized, or they renew their baptism rites when they go on trips to the Holy Land in the Jordan. It actually takes place sometimes in Whitney, in the River Windrush. They actually do that at Easter time. The Cox Church there will take people down into to the river and baptize them on the Windrush River there. I don't know what happens here. I don't know what your tradition is here. But that sort of thing can happen at Easter. But often people are so young that they've got no knowledge of what's happening, as I've said. And others make promises for them. Those godparents are really important in that development of faith. It's important to have that good relationship with them as well. So I'm just thinking of asking you, really, I'm asking you this morning, if you perhaps just reflect on the way in which your baptism has shaped your life. What difference did it make to you in you being baptized? And if you're not baptized, then that I'm really encouraging you to have a conversation with Reverend Paul or Ian or other leaders in the church here, just to get that conversation going. And not just about baptism, but about confirmation as well. Because in making that commitment as an adult, it's really good to feel that you can come and share the bread and the wine at the table when we distribute that during our service today. So just to be able to ask you really to think about reaffirming your faith. Just think about that this morning now. I'd like you just to hold that in your mind about, yes, you may have been a baby like I was, but you can renew your faith in God in your baptism now. You can do that through the words of the creed that Ian will be introducing just now, because that creed or similar words to that would have been said at your baptism. And this is about you. This is about you. It's not about everybody else. It's about you. And it's about you being able to bring yourself before God and say, I'm so grateful for what's happened to me, because it has made a difference. It's made a difference because you're here now. You are here now this morning. So to thank God for your baptism, and to also just to be assured that you are valued and loved by God. You are a child of Christ. You are important. And I know we all struggle at times. We have different things that happen to us or our families, things that hurt us. But never forget that God loves you and Jesus loves you, and you are important because God says that you are important, and he values every one of us, not just today, but forever. Amen.